not backing down.
Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Wednesday, February 8, 2017. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers granted approval to allow the Dakota Access Pipeline to cross under the Ouahe River, a Missouri River reservoir in North Dakota. This after Donald Trump issued an executive action to advance approval of the pipeline. It's the last big chunk of construction for the pipeline, land sacred to Native people who say the pipeline threatens the water supply of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Members of the Indigenous Environmental Network and Standing Rock Sioux are calling for protests nationwide. This against the Army Corps of Engineers granting approval to the pipeline moving forward. Events are already happening in D.C. and San Francisco and in Denver and are scheduled in many other cities, including New York. The Indigenous Environmental Network says opponents are ready to challenge the pipeline in the courts and on the streets. In the past, protesters have been injured by militarized police using crowd control weapons. Susanna Serkin is International Policy Director for Physicians for Human Rights. She says there are a variety of these weapons being used on protesters, and many can pose dangers to health and even life and can be used to violate people's rights.
Physicians for Human Rights has documented serious health effects from crowd control weapons over many decades. And in particular, in reference to Standing Rock, water cannons were used in freezing temperatures, and this is an extremely dangerous environment, obviously, for the use of this particular form of crowd control weapon. And our concerns have, in addition, been that in this situation, access to emergency care has also been impeded because of roads being blocked and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And people have been injured.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen these reports. We're very concerned about the possible excessive use and both also the improper use of these weapons by people who are either motivated to infringe on people's rights to demonstrate or who are not adequately trained in the proper use of these kinds of crowd control weapons.
What is your group suggesting regarding protesters, and what are you suggesting for the police and other security forces to be mindful of?
Well, certainly no crowd control weapons are substitutes for the good and proper policing, and no weapons are should be used to infringe on people's rights to freely express their opinions. And so that's number one. Number two is, of course, demonstrators should know their rights, but also their responsibilities in terms of how they protest and how they can then inform the public and organizations like ours who are monitoring these situations about what weapons have been used, the ways in which they've been used. It's very important for also for demonstrators to understand the consequences of various crowd control weapons that might be used and how to protect themselves from such consequences in the cases of, let's say, tear gas and other chemical irritants or water cannons. Physicians for Human Rights has on our website at phr.org fact sheets on various kinds of crowd control weapons that are used in situations all around the world. And we've described in some detail the kinds of health effects that can ensue from the use of these weapons. But certainly reporting to civil rights organizations and human rights organizations what weapons may be used is also important. And, you know, we would hope that anyone who is a public official that is bringing in law enforcement in any way to, we assume and we hope, protect demonstrators as well as to also ensure security, would be properly trained and properly guided by public officials who are responsible for the safety of our population.
Susanna Serkin is International Policy Director for Physicians for Human Rights. According to the Camp of Sacred Stones, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe will likely sue, and they'll ask for a temporary restraining order to halt construction while the legality of the decision is reviewed in court. In the meantime, according to an attorney for Dakota Access, the drilling will likely start immediately. Crude could be placed in the pipeline within 60 days, and oil could be flowing along the entire length of the 1,172-mile route in less than 90 days. All that was needed is an easement for the final portion, which is near the sacred tribal land. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. In other news, political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is incarcerated at the State Correctional Institution in Pennsylvania, is being denied clean water to drink and to bathe in, and he's being denied court-ordered treatment for Hep C. Gwendolyn DeBrow is with the campaign to bring Mumia Abu-Jamal home, based in New York City.
The latest upheaval is the water crisis. The water is brown, and it looks like a coffee consistency, coffee or tea consistency, and Mumia and the other prisoners aren't able to use it because it's contaminated, and they don't know what it's contaminated with.
Now, the prison authorities told Mumia to run the water. They said if you run it, it will be clear.
That's right, and it didn't get clear. It actually got worse. They said run it for 5 minutes. Then they said 10. Then they said 15. Mumia ran it for 20 to 25 minutes. And the water, it just got worse. And they don't even chip in clean water for them to drink. And we don't even know whether they're coping with this water. A situation that's been going on for quite some time, from what we understand. And Mumia has filed a grievance, like I said, a few days ago. And we just got it in our email. So that's why I'm informing the WBAI family about it.
And also, isn't he supposed to be taking baths? Was it ordered? Was for his health? Is he supposed
Correct.
To be bathing?
He is mandated to take baths to help with the skin situation. His skin is itching him like crazy, and that's also because they're not giving him the hepatitis C medication that the court ordered that he have on January 3rd, and the DOC, Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, is ignoring that order, and that's even they've appealed that decision as well. So not only is he can't take the baths that are mandated by the infirmary and the doctors there, three times a week he's supposed to take a bath, and he can't take a bath now, and that's supposed to help, you know, with his skin condition. And if he does, I mean, we don't even know whether that would have a negative effect. I'm sure it would. I mean, taking, you know, a shower or bathing in water that's severely discolored, and they don't even know why it's discolored, can't be good for your health.
And the federal judge did order that he should get medication for Hep C within 21 days, and that was back on January 3rd. So there's a violation
Correct. They are deliberately showing malice and contempt of the order by Judge Mariani on January 3rd. He ordered that Mumia be seen by a doctor and given the medication that would alleviate the itching, the rabid itching in his skin, and also his extended stomach. I mean, at this moment, Mumia has a 14% chance of getting liver cancer. At this moment, each year that they delay, and it's been about 2 years now that he's been infected, has active hepatitis C, prolonged, you know, gets him closer and closer to liver cancer. Right now, like I said, he has a 14% chance of getting liver cancer.
And with this medication, with Harvoni, generally Hep C is cleared up.
Exactly. Within 12 weeks. Mumia could be cured along with 7,000 other people in prison that have hepatitis C. This is barbaric. And the judge understood that this was clearly a violation of Mumia's constitutional rights against cruel and unusual punishment.
So Gwen, what would you like WBAI listeners to do?
They can call Teresa Del Basio, the superintendent of SCI Mahanoy, and let them know that we know that there is a severe water contamination at the prison, and they need to test the water and fix the problem. And while they're fixing the problem, they need to provide water, clean water for them, for the people in prison. So they can contact the prison directly, and the superintendent's name is Teresa Del Basio. She's the superintendent, and it's at Mahanoy. The number is 570-773-2158. Again, it's 570-770-2158. And then the head of the prison, his name is John Wetzel. He's the secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. And his number is 717-728-4109, 717-728-4109. And their fax number, they say that they need documentation of this, is 717-728-4177. That's the fax number for the Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. The fax number, again, is 717-728-7177.
So that is all what people should do to call about the water condition. But what about the Hep C medication?
We would suggest that people call the governor's office. The governor and the secretary of prison, they can definitely turn this situation around and do the right thing. They can call Tom Wolf's office. He's the governor of Pennsylvania. His number is 717-787-2500. And they are taking the call.
So, again, the governor's number of the Pennsylvania governor's number is?
717-787-2500.
Gwendolyn DeBrow with a campaign to bring Mumia Abu-Jamal home. In other news, a federal appeals court is deciding whether to reinstate President Donald Trump's travel ban. This after a contentious hearing last night in which judges hammered away at the administration's motives for the ban. Here's Judge William Canby.
This is Judge Canby. Of course, in naming those seven countries, what Congress did was to provide that people coming from those countries had to get visas. In other words, they couldn't just come into the country without a visa. And that permitted, of course, the usual investigations before you give somebody a visa. And in the transcript of the hearing in the district court asks the representative of the Department of Justice, you're in the Department of Justice, how many federal offenses have we had being committed by people who came in with visas from these countries? And the ultimate was the answer was there haven't been any.
Addressing the government's attorney, August Flencheek, Judge Canby said the judges have many questions over the government's assertions in the travel ban.
No, that's all right. Could the president simply say in the order, we're not going to let any Muslims in?
That's not what the order does here.
Oh, I know.
And the order relies on...
I know.
Sorry, Your Honor.
Could he do that?
Would
anybody be able to challenge that?
That's not what the order does here. I do want to get to one key point.
Well, we'd like to get to an answer to that question because it speaks back to the standing issue. If the order said Muslims cannot be admitted, would anybody have standing to challenge that?
The judge's question was never answered. Later, the government's lawyer said this.
I'm not sure I'm convincing the court, so I want to make one really key point with regard to the injunction, and that is that it overbroad and should be immediately stayed to the extent it is overbroad, even if the court thinks some applications of the order are problematic.
A quick ruling is expected, but it's unclear which way the three judges of the San Francisco-based Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will rule. Legal experts said the states appear to have the edge. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Democrats have been speaking all day in the Senate. They held the floor all night, as they did the previous night with Betsy DeVos and her confirmation hearing. Then they voiced objections to the billionaire as education secretary. The vote was 50-50. Vice President Mike Pence broke the tie, casting the deciding vote to confirm DeVos as education secretary. Last night it was Jeff Sessions, the Alabama senator, which Democrats tried to stop.
Mr. President.
Senator from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today to express my strong opposition to the nomination of Senator Jeff Sessions to serve as Attorney General of the United States. And I ask, where are the senators who will say no to the nomination of Senator Jeff Sessions as Attorney General of the United States? I hope there are at least enough senators here who understand that America is careening over a constitutional cliff, and that all of us, regardless of political party, need an attorney general who can be relied on to enforce the laws fairly and to fight back against lawless overreach by an out-of-control president.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren went on to describe overreach by Donald Trump since he assumed the presidency. She said these are dangerous times and it's important for the attorney general to have independence. Speaking against Jeff Sessions for attorney general, she began reading a letter from Coretta Scott King, Dr. King's widow, written back in 1986 to the Judiciary Committee about Sessions' nomination to a federal judgeship, which he didn't get. Mrs. King's letter said Sessions, as an acting federal prosecutor in Alabama, used his power to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. Warren reading Mrs. King's letter.
It has been a long uphill struggle to keep alive the vital legislation that protects the most fundamental right to vote. A person who has exhibited so much hostility to the enforcement of those laws.
The senator is reminded that it is a violation of Rule 19 of the standing rules of the Senate to impute to another senator or senators any conduct or motive unworthy or becoming a senator.
Mr. President, I don't think I quite understand. I'm reading a letter from Coretta Scott King to the Judiciary Committee from 1986 that was admitted into the record. I'm simply reading what she wrote about what the nomination of Jeff Sessions to be a federal court judge meant and what it would mean in history for her.
This is a reminder, not pertinent necessarily to what you just shared. However, you stated that a sitting senator is a disgrace to the Department of Justice.
I think that may have been Senator Kent.
And this...
Although I would be glad to repeat it in my own words.
The rule applies to imputing conduct or motive through any form or voice to a sitting form of words includes quotes, articles, or other materials.
So quoting Senator Kennedy calling then nominee Sessions a disgrace is a violation of Senate rules. It was certainly not in 1986.
In the opinion of the chair, it is.
So let me understand then.
And the senator is warned.
So can I ask a question in the opinion of the chair? I want to understand what this rule means.
The senator will state her inquiry.
So is it the contention of the chair that under the rules of the Senate, I am not allowed to accurately describe public views of Senator Sessions, public positions of Senator Sessions, quote, public statements of Senator Sessions?
The chair has not made a ruling with respect to the senator's comments.
The chair has not made a ruling as respect to the senator's comments.
The senator is following process and tradition.
The senator is following process and tradition.
By reminding
the senator from Massachusetts.
By reminding the senator of Massachusetts of the rule.
Oh, I'm asking for what this rule means in this context. So can I continue with Coretta Scott King's letter?
The senator may continue.
Thank you. I'll pick up then with Mrs. King's letter.
As Elizabeth Warren continued reading Coretta Scott King's letter about how blacks were still falling short in terms of equal representation in the electoral process, particularly in the South, Warren wasn't permitted to continue. Senator Mitch McConnell.
Mr. President.
The Majority Leader.
The senator is impugning the motives and conduct of our colleague from Alabama, as warned by the chair. Senator Warren, quote, said Senator Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Mr. President.
The senator from Massachusetts.
Mr. President, I am surprised that the words of Coretta Scott King are not suitable for debate in the United States Senate. I ask leave of the Senate to continue my remarks.
Is there objection?
Object.
I appeal the ruling.
Objection is heard. The senator will take her seat.
Mr. President, I appeal the ruling of the chair, and I suggest the absence of a quorum.
The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Alexander.
A vote was taken 49 to 43. Senators voted that Senator Elizabeth Warren impugned Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, and she was silenced. But she continued to speak out. Warren said, I will not be silent about a nominee for attorney general who has made derogatory and racist comments that have no place in our justice system. All night, the hashtag LetLizSpeak trended as Democratic senators came to her defense, as they did all day today. Senator Bernie Sanders said, when I read the same letter as Senator Warren, no one prevented me from speaking. He continued saying, Senator McConnell owes Senator Warren an apology. Others read the same Coretta Scott King letter on the Senate floor through the night and today. The vote is tonight to deny or confirm Jeff Sessions as Attorney General of the United States. At 6:50, WBAI will carry the vote. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.